everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes. Really wonderful week coming up. Actually, maybe go over the week. I did it a few months back. It's called Opening the Doors to the Pittsfield School System. And it's an amazing group of people, but the feedback was phenomenal. And about what people didn't know the school system did or the types of students. I was stopped in the grocery store and said, I really enjoyed that. I never knew. Well, let me just start with this. It's not your father's school. It's a different society, a different way of life, a whole bunch of things. But I have with me today someone I have a lot of respect for. Laura, go ahead and introduce yourself and your title.
Yes, good morning. My name is Laura Macklin, and I'm the English Language Learner Coordinator here for Pittsfield Public Schools. I just began in the role about 6 weeks ago, but I was formerly a teacher in the district working with this very same population of students and their families. So I'm very excited to be here.
And Laura's position in today's world is extremely demanding and extremely rewarding and all those words, but it's also difficult. It's also a hard job. I applaud you, Laura, and give us a 30,000 foot view of what ELL is, please.
Sure. So ELL has gone by many different acronyms over the years, from ESL, EEL, ML, ELL. Basically, we're talking about a group of students who come from language backgrounds that aren't exclusively English. So they may have come straight from another country into Pittsfield Public Schools, or they might have been born here in Pittsfield, but at home they're speaking a language other than English. So we know that in order to support them to acquire the language and succeed academically, that they need some different kinds of supports at school than their English-speaking peers need. And that's the group of students that we're working with most closely in my role.
And just recently, I interviewed a man who's going to be 102.
Oh, my goodness. That's exciting.
World War II. But when he came from Italy, all he spoke was Italian.
Yes. Yes. And we're a nation of immigrants, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And he would stand in the back of the room and or listen, and they didn't have an ELL program. You were kind of like self-taught, and then he got some employment and where he had to learn more. But today, everybody here opens their arms, but you especially work with, I've been all over the world. I had a great job when I had a real job. And what I found, even it's not only the languages, a lot of it's customs.
Yes, absolutely. All that cultural background and prior experience and how we think about the world and school in particular can be really influenced by where we come from. So.
And now, how many different languages are you dealing with now?
We have students in the district who speak over 20 different languages.
Wow.
I know. It's an amazingly diverse group of students and families. And primarily, our students speak Spanish as another language.
Yeah.
But we also have large numbers of students who speak Portuguese, French, Haitian Creole, Twi. And so it's a very diverse group of students. They come from many different countries, but the vast majority of our students are born right here in Pittsfield, wow. But their parents come from other places and they're learning other languages at home.
And I won't get into too many specifics, but we are familiar with a family who speak a language at home and no English. No English.
Yes, right.
And so my wife is Polish by descent. And back to things, see how things have changed. The parents would converse in the native language when the kids, the older kids maybe did, but the younger kids, they didn't understand a word.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we see that with families here. Older children tend to be more conversant in the language that their parents speak, whereas younger children have had a lot more exposure at school to English and tend to gravitate towards that. So we have a lot of students who's, you know, even within their family, they're what we call code switching. They're using multiple languages all the time to communicate. And, you know, we really support that kind of bilingualism because we know that that's a wonderful way for students to learn. It increases all of their academic capacities. Being bilingual is a wonderful skill set.
Right.
So we really encourage that. But here at school, we're focused on supporting their acquisition of English.
And when they come and it's at, give us a span of the grade levels, just about everywhere, right?
Yeah. So we have ELLs or English language learners from pre-K all the way through 12th grade. Some of them are just entering the public school system here in Pittsfield or here in the United States, and some have been enrolled for a long time. But right now, the bulk of our students are at a very beginner level of English language. So, you know, that's having a really big impact on the way they're integrated into the classroom and how they're learning and what the teacher needs to do and building relationships with everyone. So they really need a lot of support to in those beginner phases to learn as much English as possible.
And again, roughly how many students? You don't need an exact roughly.
Yeah, so approximately right now we have about 550 English language learners in Pittsfield public schools. I know that's about double what we had 5 years ago.
Yeah.
This is a rapidly expanding population, and we've seen that, you know, across the state of Massachusetts, that this is a very rapidly growing student population.
And it doesn't, I don't think it's going to shrink in anytime soon.
I don't think so. Not from what I've heard.
Right.
We're really expecting that, you know, we need to continue to expand our programming to, as we welcome new people, new members of our community, and, you know, do that important work to welcome them to the schools, to provide for their academic needs, and to be part of a community together.
Right. I love that word because it seems to be a little shaky right now. Community.
Yes.
You know, I'm a big one. Let's come together. We, you know, there's so many things we could do together, Ed, and head on. Boom, boom, boom. But when I've always envisioned how it would be when after this, not always, but since I interviewed this guy, imagine coming here, you can't speak the language, and next thing you know, you're in the first grade.
Right.
Give us a picture on how Pittsfield School, through your leadership, and how that happens, how that transition happens. I would really love to see, have you do that.
Well, I really have to give a shout out to the phenomenal team of English language learner teachers that work in every school in this district, because they're really on the front lines of welcoming students and their families that first day of school. Not necessarily everybody's first day of school, right? But let's say a student arrives from Puerto Rico, you know, today. Sure. It's his or her first day of school. They arrive at school, and usually we have a team member waiting to greet them and their family so that they feel comfortable and safe, right? And we escort them in, and get them situated, make sure they have what they need. And in many schools, we have a kind of buddy or mentor system where we try to connect that student with a person in their grade level who also speaks their language, who can help them get to the lunchroom and find the classroom and is a peer. And we have a lot of success supporting students that way. And classroom teachers, you know, do a beautiful job of explaining to other students how important it is to welcome and be excited to meet new people who are coming from different places and speak other languages. And I personally find that to be a very rich and rewarding experience as a teacher.
Yeah.
And as a student, I can remember that in my own early years, welcoming new kids to the class was always very, very exciting, right?
Yeah.
Especially when they were apparently quite different from.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's so many things that I that go with ELL, and it's not just language. It's learning culture, accepting their culture. You know, one of the things I had to learn in various places was to be open to how they did things, how yes. they sat to eat. Now, mm-hmm. that sounds crazy, but...
Not to me.
Yeah, no. But and I just... I want people to truly understand the effort that our schools, our teachers, our administration are going through to make these kiddos welcome and to educate them.
Yes. And as you say, there are many different factors. Anyone who's even, you know, gone and traveled or lived in another state knows that, you know, things work differently in different places. And really what our program is think of it as a bridge, right? So we're really bridging, you know, a student's home language, home culture, and introducing them to a new language and a new culture. And we're really trying to support students and families in particular as they navigate that, because there's a lot of complexity to being the parent of a student in school. You know, you have to navigate a lot of technology and you have to understand all the rules and policies and procedures.
Boy, do we, it may have those rules and policies. I watch the school committee meetings.
Yeah, so we're really encouraging families to participate in those events. And we have a special parent advisory council for our multilingual families. And that will be held on December 4th at the library. We have interpreters available. So we welcome all those families to come in to talk about the specifics of their needs as a community and what their children need, so we can listen and respond. And we also share important information about what's happening at school. That is one of the challenges, is, you know, making sure that the communication between school and home is strong and open and accessible. Because when you think, okay, well, we have 21 different or more than 20 languages represented, then all the documentation that goes home is going home in multiple languages, and it can be quite complex. But I do think it's building that respect and that commitment to diversity and to educating all of our students. And the district is very, very supportive of that initiative.
And we have some magnificent teachers in that program. Teachers that, in my opinion, you have to have a kind of a total understanding, not just speak the language, but understand the culture. I'll give you a quick example. I was assigned to Haiti when President Clinton put President Aristide in power.
Wow.
And listen, what I speak in French, you could put on the head of a pin. But I had French, and here's a quick story. I never realized how much French I actually learned until I went to Vietnam and could understand and converse a little bit with French speakers in Vietnam. But to finish this story, Creole is its own language, Haitian Creole. Could you kind of like expand that a little bit to show people? You want to talk about diversity. This lady kind of sits on a big mound of diversity because it's languages and cultures. And what I thank her and all her teachers for and the school system is the effort they put in every day to give these kiddos the same level of learning all of our kiddos get.
Yes, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think that, you know, we recently had a group of refugee families resettled from Haiti here in the district. And what you find is, you know, not unexpected, but students come with, you know, a lot of challenges that they've already faced, even at a very young age.
Yes.
And they're quite resilient. Many of these students were resettled first in Brazil or Mexico, where they went to school and learned either Portuguese or Spanish. So they started with their Haitian Creole. Then they went, say, to Brazil, and they were in school, they were learning Portuguese. And then they got resettled here in Pittsfield, and now they're learning English. You know, so they've had a lot of interruptions, but they're also resilient and these brilliant language learners because their brains are used to doing that. They're used to switching and paying attention to what people are saying and how they're saying it. And it's been a really wonderful, I think, experience for all of our students and teachers to welcome kind of new groups from different places. And there's lots to learn. And as you say, the ELL teachers and classroom teachers and administrators, everybody's working really hard to meet people where they are, you know, to understand where they're coming from, to provide supports, and also to say, you know, this is the culture of our school. This is how we function here. These are the things you can expect. You know, and that's such an important role, I think.
Well, the obviousness of this is the commitment you show and the teachers and the administration, everybody shows to this. And I think it's fair to say diverse population of students.
Yes, very.
Yeah. And I now when we talk when about the various languages, we have you have tutors for every language that is here.
Yeah.
Is it tutors or interpreters? So that's
the very interesting part, is a lot of times people think that in order to work with the students, you must speak their language. But really, we have many bilingual ELL teachers in the district, but we also have many EL teachers who are English speaking. So we're really just doing that that piece of slowing down the language, using a lot of gestures, making things very explicit. And then for parent meetings and things like that, we bring in interpreters to support the communication with families. But at school, almost all of the instructional time is in English. And so, you know, those classrooms are pretty fun because we're jumping around and, you know, acting things out, and it needs to be engaging because the language piece isn't present. So, you know, at all the different grade levels, we're using English as the mode of instruction here in Pittsfield.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step
on
you.
No, that's fine.
No, that has to be quite an experience for the learner.
Yes.
That also has to be quite an experience for the other students and the teacher.
Yes, it is, you know, and it can be challenging for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a group of students, let's say you have 20 students in the room, Right now at Morningside, one in four students is a second language learner.
Wow.
So that's, 25% of your classroom. And so you're really having to scaffold the instruction, differentiate, do things in different ways to support everybody's needs. And that can be quite difficult for teachers to manage, as you can imagine. It's also quite difficult to be the student in the room who doesn't understand, who's not quite sure what's happening, like the situation you were describing of your recent interviewee who was sitting in the back of the room,
right,
confused probably for quite some time.
Absolutely.
Our teachers are really trying hard to minimize that. But, our new, brand new students, yeah, they're a little overwhelmed. They're not quite sure. They need a lot of help, a lot of attention, and they're getting it, which I think is important.
I do too, I'd like to emphasize the point, if I may, and I think you will agree with me. Some of these kiddos have been through a lot of trauma at
yes.
a very young age to get here, and we don't know what they left from, but obviously something to get here. So when we talk about ELL, English is a, I walk down North Street sometimes and I see people who look just like me, and I think their English is a second language because I don't understand a thing they're saying. But you'll get a kick out of this. I ran a violent youthful offender program, and there was two words. You can figure the first one. But the second one was like. They couldn't use the word like. You could hear a pin drop through orientation. They couldn't talk to each other. But meals and food and that kind of a custom, does that ever promote a problem? Not a problem, but a concern that you have to overcome.
Sometimes, yeah. The bulk of my experience has been in the elementary grades. And, when you first come, you'll often see kids bringing, our ELLs, newcomers, bringing their lunch boxes full of, delicious rice and beans or,
their food.
Food from Afghanistan that I don't know the name of. It all looks and smells delicious to me. Relatively quickly, then you see them gravitating toward the chicken nuggets on the lunch line. And it's an interesting thing to watch, and we really try hard to encourage, that continuation of their home culture and their home language, because we know how important identity is. Even and just, think about if you went to another country and people couldn't pronounce your name. That's who you are. That's part of your identity. And so it's always this balancing of working hard to meet them, to do our best, and then to, support them to create a new way of being at school, and have respect for where they're coming from. And as you say, it's such an important point, in my experience, and I've been in this field for almost 30 years, I started as a volunteer tutor, and I've been a teacher, a coordinator, a director. The true passion of my life. And I think when you do that over a long time, you start to really understand that it's a tremendous sacrifice that people make to provide, in many cases, what they most want is a good education for their children.
Yeah.
And, I take that responsibility very seriously. And I know we do here as a whole district, because people give up a lot. Of course, there are motivating factors, there are reasons, but it's not an easy process for many people. So they're really in a state of transition and adjustment, and there's a lot of pressure on the families. So kids feel that, they know that's happening, and they're doing their best every day to adjust and learn and participate.
And again, I think we have to understand these are people that are, I don't want to, for lack of a better term, plucked out of one culture, one food. I can remember just a quick story in South Africa. I thought they were mashed potatoes, and it was what they call Millie Pop. And it's just pure starch. It's like, and you look at me, I don't need the weight. But so many of their foods went back to when they were hunter-gatherers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When
kiddos and families come, and I guess I put myself going to other countries, you're apprehensive, nervous, that you don't want to make a mistake, at least I was, that I don't want to make a mistake.
Yeah.
And it hurt anybody or insult anybody. And that's why I always admire the teachers who work with these kiddos, because they're learning as much as they're teaching many times. You were in it, so you know that.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. You know, our families are enormously respectful, excited to be here, appreciative. I mean, it's a great, wonderful job to work with our families in particular, because they really do reflect back that gratitude, the opportunity. And they know, and they're nervous. They also don't want to make a mistake or do the wrong thing or send their kid to school, you know, in a way that doesn't match the cultural expectations. And so there is a lot of joy, I think, for the teachers, despite, you know, the challenge of hard work. But, you know, our teachers across the board, I know all of them, and they love doing this work. It's very, very interesting. If you're someone who likes learning about other cultures or other places or other people, you get that every day, you know, because you're working with students from all over the world. And that's exciting, I think. And
And challenging. And I think we have to say it is exciting and rewarding and all that, but it's also challenging.
Yes. Yes. It's, you know, it's a difficult process. And just like you were saying, I thought that was an interesting example. You know, you had some French, and probably you could understand more than you could speak, or you could read it better than you could write it. And you know, our students, it takes a good 5 to 7 years to really acquire a new language, and that happens in different kind of ups and downs. And sometimes you think students understand, they don't. Sometimes they understand and you don't. And you know, that it's a process, and it takes time. And I think sometimes, you know, we're all under pressure to help kids go through that process as quickly as possible. So that can be challenging, you know, is to really make sure that you're doing the best you can every day to support all those students at different levels, different languages, to be learning what they need to be successful at school.
And again, when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about one that Laura's experience, her credentials, but also all the teachers and the, I guess the word I'm trying to think of, and you know, what you're dealing with me, integration. You know, I always felt when I went somewhere, a foreign country, and I don't mean England, because England was pretty much like us, but you went to the Philippines or South Africa or other countries that I've been, I always wanted to feel that I was integrating myself to them. I'll give you an example. I almost got run over by about 200 people one morning coming out of my hotel in Amsterdam. They're all on bicycles. with their bells. Dang, dang, get out of the royal, stupid. I was stupid. So, but that's a minor thing. But really, I never, you know, if I saw three people all together in, on Pittsfield riding their bikes together, it'd be a crowd. There was like probably, honestly, 100 plus people all on the way to work. So we're going to be right back. I am here with a lovely lady. And I want to just tell people, we're doing this show and other shows all week, basically. So the people understand the Pittsfield school system. We did this about 6 months ago, and the feedback from the public was absolutely overwhelming about people that people didn't know. It's, as I say, and not in an offensive or sarcastic way, it's not your father's school anymore. It really isn't. And the society has changed. Now we have this particular program I am finding fascinating because we're taking people, maybe from my own memory, which most of you know isn't that good anymore, and thinking what I went through trying to be assimilated just to work with these folks and not offend anybody. Or, you know, there were some foods that, well.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just leave it at that. This, thank you for staying with us. It's an interesting thing, and it's part of our community, Pittsfield. These folks now are part of our community, these children and their families. Please stay tuned. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. I want to just show you this. I know it offends some of you, but live with it. This is the flag I adhere to. I'm only, you don't have to like it. You don't have to respect it. You don't have to do it. But the only thing I am asking you is please don't disrespect it. I have friends who are buried under it. I have acquaintances who are buried under it. And if you drive to a cemetery and you see these flags blowing on the graves, just remember at some point in time, every one of those people signed on the dotted line for their flag, for this flag. So.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. This is the best it can be. You are the greatest audience in the whole world. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Whoa, like what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Tim's Lawn Care. It's almost time for fall cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care also could take care of your landscaping and fall lawn care needs. Also, ask about commercial and residential snow plowing for the winter. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222, and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass. Now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. Laura, please introduce yourself again.
Yes, my name is Laura Macklin, and I'm the English Language Learner Coordinator here for Pittsfield Public Schools.
And we've been talking about the variety of languages. We are a morning show, so I know some of you are just joining us. Some of you are running to get the kids on the bus or get the kids in a car. Laura's going to give a recap of the first half hour about the number of different languages, kiddos with that speak different languages, and some of the other things. And but I'll have her do that first. You will be amazed. And why am I doing this series of shows, opening the doors to the Pittsfield school system, is because I did it six months ago. I can't remember. And the response from the people was overwhelming about they didn't know that we had so many kids in need of special ed. We didn't know that they had so many shops, so many trades program, pathways. These are all things that, so we're going to let people know. This is my way of saying thank you to the Pittsfield school system. I graduated from PHS. They may not be part of it, but I am. And I've traveled the world, and I got that basic education, North Junior High at the time, Reed now, and PHS. So, Laura, how many different groups from different, or how many kiddos from different countries do we have?
Yeah, so right now in our English Language Learner program, we have almost 550 students. That's about 10% of the total population of students we have here in Pittsfield Public Schools.
Wow. And, That's great.
Students are enrolled anywhere from pre-K all the way through 12th grade. They have varying levels of language, although most of the students we serve are at the more beginner levels of English learning. And they come from many different countries, and many of them were born here in Pittsfield, but their parents speak another language at home. So most of their exposure to language has been a language other than English. So we're working with students at all those different grade levels, coming from many different backgrounds, every day here in the schools.
And when you, again, just to kind of widen the scope a little bit, it's just not language. It's cultures. The teachers have to be sensitive. The kiddos have to kind of learn new cultures, new nuances that they probably have never heard in their country. I mean, when I would go and do something or say something stupid, which, you know, I do very often, somebody look at me like, what? You know?
Yeah. I think that, you know, our students come from many different cultural backgrounds, and that has a really big impact on how they think about the world and how they interact with people. And, you know, things that we might take for granted are very different, even when the language is the same. So we have many students coming from Ghana. And many of them had a bilingual early education, so their English is excellent. But, you know, it's very different, you know, when you walk into a classroom here in Pittsfield, as opposed to another country, the expectations are different, the teacher is different, the kids might interact differently. You know, it's as you said, even from, you know, the time I was a child, school looks and feels very different.
Yes.
From what I was accustomed to. So I think that's even more true when you're coming from another culture, another language. There's a lot to get used to. It can be fun and interesting and exciting, but it can also be scary and difficult and overwhelming.
Yeah,
you know, it's like when you don't understand anything. If I were to switch to Portuguese right now and talk to your audience in Portuguese, they'd probably want to hang up, you know,
right,
stop listening because they didn't understand, right? So that comprehension piece and the overwhelm is a real factor our students struggle with every day.
And we talked earlier too about, you know, some of them had a pretty horrendous voyage here, from their home country to here. Can you just imagine the trauma of picking up a kindergarten kid or a second grader and saying, we're leaving the United States and we're going to go live in Botswana. And they're going to look at you like, what? Why?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big childhood generational trauma person. It's my criminal justice background with violent youth. And I'm really sensitive to trauma, childhood trauma. And I really applaud what you guys are doing to recognize it and deal with it.
Yeah, no, it's true, you know. Everyone, all of us has a story, right?
Right.
But all students in particular at quite young ages, they've really navigated a lot of complexity, a lot of very difficult situations.
Very difficult.
And, you know, they're still in that process, even though they may be in a safe place now. They really are quite sensitive and vulnerable, and they need a lot of support to navigate this transition. And I can give you an example. I had one lovely student, and, you know, this student was born in the US, but, he came to me one day and he was just feeling a bit sad. And I said, "Oh, why are you sad today?" And he said, "Oh, you know, I miss Mexico." And I was thinking, huh, you never really lived there. But then I realized, like, this is the tenor of the family, you know. Everyone is missing home, missing loved ones, missing grandma who might be quite ill, right? That extended separation from loved ones can be so difficult. And not having much opportunity to connect or maintain those cultural ties. Or a lot of students will come and they'll be very sad when you talk about things that we talk about all the time at school, like, do you have a dog? Do you have a cat? And they'll say, "Oh, well, I had a cat in, you know, Ecuador. I had a dog in Afghanistan. I had chickens when I lived, you know, in Haiti, but I don't have them here and I don't know what happened to them." And, you know, so they're really like kind of struggling with those big losses.
And remorse. There's remorse too, that, you know, what you guys do, and I don't mean to minimize anything. I want to actually highlight the teachers in the schools, all the teachers, the ELL teachers, all the teachers these kiddos interact with. It's a challenge. It really is, to communicate and to not offend and to understand the kid's having a bad day because the kid's thinking about home, and home isn't where they're living now.
Right. Yes. And I will say that in my experience in this district, there's an overwhelming sense of compassion and patience and understanding. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult because there's that cultural communication piece where, you know, let's say everybody else in the school understands that the homework goes home in a green folder.
Right.
You know, maybe in the Dominican Republic, the homework doesn't go home in a green folder. So the family might not be used to checking the backpack for that green folder or the purple one or whatever. So, you know, it means that someone needs to be aware of those things and take the opportunity to explain to families, oh, you know, their communication goes home in this fashion. And, you know, we do these sorts of activities, and this is optional, but this one is something you need to do. And that requires a lot of time and commitment and dedication to helping everyone be able to participate. And I think that teachers are doing an amazing job of doing that every day.
Because I think with all kiddos today, I mean, but with this group, maybe I am more sensitive because of my life background. Maybe I am more sensitive to the little glitches and missteps and things like that that a kid may do and not even realize it's not right. You know, it's not acceptable here.
Sure. Yeah.
I meant to, probably should have done this to me. Give us a little bit of your historical background. I mean, when you said you've been out of school that long, I went, well, how long have I been out? And then I didn't want to remember.
So when I was in high school, I was an exchange student and I lived in São Paulo, Brazil.
Oh,
And so
cool.
I left my high school on Long Island. I was 15 and I went by myself to São Paulo, Brazil. I lived with three different host families. And that was really my first experience of total immersion in a language and culture that I did not understand. And that was a really life-changing experience for me. And so, it took some time, but I learned Portuguese. I went to school. I made lots of friends. I navigated the culture with its ups and downs and made a lot of mistakes, but made a lot of friends. And I will say that that was probably one of the biggest influences in my decision to later become a teacher in this field. And so I went to college. When I came back, I stayed there a year, came back, went to college. I studied cultural anthropology. So I always had this interest in people who were different from me. But I also swore that I would never teach English because I thought that that was kind of, like not the best thing that I could possibly do. But I wanted to go back to Brazil and I had one marketable skill, and that was to teach English. But in the evenings, I worked with Brazilian domestic workers who were non-literate. So they couldn't read or write in Portuguese. And one day, one evening, I helped a woman write her name for the first time. And I've never been so moved. And that really meant a lot to me and a lot to her. And I really started down this track of adult literacy. What does it mean to be able to read and write and express yourself and participate in society at that level? So when I came back to the States, I started working with Brazilian immigrants in the Boston area.
Cool.
And I started teaching English. And I loved doing that. And I loved my students. And then eventually I transitioned into public school teaching, working with kids. And I enjoy that.
And you can you then you can fully grasp what I would like the audience to get, and that is you were plucked out of, not plucked out, chose to leave to go to Brazil, and all of a sudden everybody's speaking a language you don't understand. There's customs and foods. I have food. If you in looking at me, you'll know why. But you yourself bring a dimension to the program that I don't think a lot of people would understand. I wanted to ask this: how many, and I don't know if you can even answer it, but got how many of the people, the parents of the kiddos you deal with, are literate?
I'm not sure. But we do have some segment of our families are very well educated. They might come with a college degree from their home country, but it can be hard to transfer those skills. But we do have some parents who struggle with basic literacy in their native languages. They may have gone, up to third grade or something like that. And that can be a challenge too, because our mode of communication is often in writing, and we want to support those families as well. So we're trying to experiment with creating videos for families to be able to watch, or having types of translation that are, auditory as opposed to needing to read. But I will say that almost all of the families I work with, they really want the opportunity to improve their English, to improve their skills. And they're working hard, and sometimes time is a factor, but many of them enroll in local adult education programs for
Wonderful.
classes or tutoring, which we also provide here in Pittsfield. So they're really invested in learning as much as they can and improving their skills.
And again, to repeat, I know we said it in the first half hour, some of them have come, it's been a hard trek for them. They didn't get on and fly business class from whatever country they came and landed in New York and were welcomed by a group of people. Some of them, the trek has been very dangerous and very long and difficult and challenging, all those words. So when they get here to Pittsfield, that's what we're talking about today, the Pittsfield public school system and the quality of the education that they get. And Loris here, if you can't read that this person is dedicated and committed to her job and to their her students, then I don't know what more I can do for you. I just really think that we need to appreciate our teachers and all the people who interact with these kids. Even the lunch ladies interact. I mean, they were my favorite people at North Junior High. Lunch ladies. They made the best goulash. It always gets back to food, me, Laura. Don't. As a community, I really feel it's, I'm so happy we're doing this show because I want people to understand what our public school system is like in city of Pittsfield and the jobs that they do. And I just really, when you talk about the different languages and the different cultures, all trying to intermingle into our culture. And you just said something that just really makes me feel good to be a Pittsfielder. And that is, you're doing video so the people understand in their language things because they are audio or visual learners. They're not readers and they're, and I was astonished at the number of people in the countries I was. You're right. Third, fourth grade seemed like a dropout point. A lot of people got to that. I don't know if that's been your experience, but in several countries, probably sixth grade was a long time for some of them to be in school trying to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, there's really a wide range of, you know, educational background with our families. But yes, you know, some families have been under a lot of financial pressure and stress. Yeah. They were quite young, and so they weren't able or afforded the kind of education that we are fortunate to be able to provide here. And they, many of our families come and they'll say, you know, I came here for my kids. I came here so my children could go to school, have a good life. And they value that. They value this educational system and they appreciate it. They're grateful for it. And try to do the best we can to support their kids.
You know, when I was in South Africa, they competed to go to school for 4 hours on Saturday mornings. In their little white shirts and dresses and pants and that from the Ville, and there wasn't a lot of washing machines there, but they were spotless. So yes. I really applaud you and your team for making because they do come here for education. We may not in this country appreciate the value and the intensity of education, but trust me, other countries do. I've seen it in every country I've been in. Get your kids, you know, maybe dad works in a mine or somewhere, but he doesn't want his kid doing that. And I think back, I think it was a, don't you think it was kind of the same way in America in the 30s and 20s and 30s? People were working in mills and factories, but they didn't want their kids to be working 12 hours a day in a mill. And so they put a big dot on education. And I think we're still trying to fulfill that dot. And through efforts like you and your team, I'm like I said, I just feel glad that I am a Pittsfielder. I've always loved, I could have retired anywhere. But lastly, what, just give us a span of the grades they're in, and then
then
the torture will be over.
No, I'm enjoying this. We have students all the way from pre-K through 12th grade.
Wow.
And they come at many different age levels, grades, levels of English proficiency. So we really serve a diverse group of students and their families.
And I think, too, it's we want to understand that I know several of this is a challenging career field. Not only do you have to teach your subject, you have to teach and remember the culture, the language, all these things. And I can't stress how happy I am to do this show, especially. Well, I can't thank you enough, and your staff. And if ever I can be of any help to you guys, and I mean that, if you got to get an announcement in Spanish, you'll record it and I'll play it.
That would be wonderful.
You don't want me trying foreign languages. Trust me, we could be at war. But I want to thank you for doing all that you do and your experience. And folks, there's the old saying: before you criticize, walk a mile in their shoes. Just saying. It's an honor to have you on, and if you have any questions about bilingual or what, how can they get a hold of you?
Sure. So again, my name is Laura Macklin, and I have a Pittsfield Public Schools phone number, 413-200-0530, and you can reach me there.
And again, if you just be cautious and kind. I know it's a difficult world to be kind in today, but I have found it's better to turn the other cheek and walk away. Laura, thank you for coming on, and I know this upsets some of you too, but I have to say it because I believe it. God bless. And today, let's try to lift somebody's load. Let's be a partner with somebody to help them. We're all in this together. And each other, that's all that we have. So think about it when you get angry or you disagree with somebody. I was just doing a research on something, and I'll leave you with this. I forget the name of the song, but it's one of the verses is, "It's too late when we die." So don't create an enemy or get in an argument for something stupid, because you never know. My mother, God rest her soul, had nothing comes before or above family, and nothing separates family. Have a good one. Laura, thanks, kid. And you can tell Miss Blake that the torture wasn't that bad.
Oh, no, I enjoyed it. Thank you for the opportunity. It's always fun to talk about the work that I do. I enjoy it.
Well, thank you, and thank all of your team.
I will. I will.
And you'll have a link, and you can share it with them.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody. Have a great day. And remember, try to help somebody. Give them a call. Smile. Shake their hand. Little things count. Bye-bye. Bye.